Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, it seems as if Wild Bill has deserted me, for a short time anyway, but we hope to catch up with him later in the show, and we're going to do something different tonight. We'll be listening to a segment from Suspense Radio, a classic radio show from the 40s, and it'll give you an idea of how people thought in those days, and you might recognize one of the voices from the show. It's the voice of Agnes Moorehead from the popular TV show Bewitched. And the show that we're going to be listening to is called Sorry, Wrong Number. We'll be opening up the mics for questions and comments after the show, so remember, press 1 if you have something to say. In the meantime, let's enjoy the show.
This is the Man in Black, here to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Tonight, as we premiere our new Saturday evening series on the air, Miss Agnes Moorehead returns to our stage to appear in the study in terror by Lucille Fletcher called Sorry, Wrong Number. This story of a woman who accidentally overheard a conversation with death and who strove frantically to prevent murder from claiming an innocent victim is being repeated by popular request as tonight's tale of Suspense. If you've been with us before, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so it is with the story Sorry, Wrong Number, and the performance of Miss Agnes Moorhead, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 70093 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 70093.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, George?
Yes, this is George speaking.
Hello, who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, God. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yeah, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone boat. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address?
Yeah, I know. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, at 11 o'clock.
I will make sure that all the lights downstairs are out.
There should be only one light visible from the street.
Yeah, I know. At 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand, I tell you. That's 11:15, the train.
Yeah. Do you remember everything else, George?
Yeah, I make it quick. As little blood as possible. Because our client does not wish to make her suffer longer.
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes, a knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Because our client wishes it to look like simple robbery. Don't worry. Everything's okay. I never...
Oh, how awful, how unspeakably awful. Oh. The operator.
Oh. Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
Sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 70093, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder, and, operator, you simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends. They were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge, and we've got to stop them. We've got to...
What number were you calling,
well,
please?
That doesn't matter. This is a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? Do you mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now, look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 70093 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number. And I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose, why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 70093 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 70093?
Yes.
I'll try to get it for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry. Murray Hill 70093 is busy. I will call you in 20 minutes.
Operator.
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I'm sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Please. Oh, dear.
chief operator.
Oh, chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Well, can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
I'm not certain. It depends.
Well, depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnect?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course, they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But listen...
And your telephone number, please?
Plaza 42295. But if you go on wasting all this time...
Why do you want this call traced, please?
What? Well, no reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight. I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, but meanwhile,
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call just in your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to do it.
It's ridiculous. Perfectly ridiculous. I can't see why you have to go to all this trouble. Oh.
Your call, please.
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. Do you have to dial? Can't you ring them direct?
Ringing the police department.
Rent. Oh, man, I can't.
Police station, precinct 43. Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department. This is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder. I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid, and I guess in the end you're the only people who can do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue, and there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well, and I'm just so nervous.
When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
53 North Sutton Place. 53 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge. The Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. And second...
And what was the number you were calling?
Murray Hill 70093. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 70093 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home. I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I... hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you've tracked it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, don't you worry.
Well, I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. Now, I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from 2nd Avenue. And I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
And what makes you think the murder is going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. 2nd Avenue, the patrolman, the bridge.
2nd Avenue is a very long street, ma'am. And you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone.
Yes, I know.
Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx.
I know that.
How do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island on some little 2nd Avenue you've never even heard about? Well, how do you know they're even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
Oh, don't.
Telephones are funny things. Look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call.
But,
supposing you'd got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, no, I suppose not. Only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
A lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We managed to prevent almost all of them.
Well...
But a clue of this kind is so vague. isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no. No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody? I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid Eloise, and she's a big girl. She weighs 200 pounds. She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He just adores me. He waits on me hand and foot. He scarcely left my side since I took sick well 12 years ago.
Well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. Now, if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it,
lady. Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it.
But
just now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. Good night, ma'am, and thanks.
Oh, you idiot. Oh, why did I hang up the phone like that? He'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he? Oh, so nervous.
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 70093 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you.
Well, try. I don't see why.
Oh. I'm sorry. Murray Hill 70093 is busy. I will call
you in
20 minutes.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. If I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air or just lean out of the window and see the street. Hello, Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? Hello? Oh. Hello? Hello? Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? 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 Oh, I'm trying to call. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now look. I'm an invalid, and I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, please?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so, and when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I'm sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I cannot do
you
that.
You can't! And why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic. If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check it without the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Well, of all the stupid. And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble for you.
Check it. That's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. Oh, fix her of all the impudence. How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she? Call the operator. Oh, what is it?
Your call, please.
Young woman, I don't know your name. But there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence that's ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory. Or you may secure it by dialing information.
Listen here, you... Oh, what's the use? Oh, dear. Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind, out of my... Hello? Hello? Stop ringing me. Do you hear? Answer me. Who is this? You realize you're driving me crazy? Me. What are you doing it for? Now stop it. Hello, if you don't stop ringing me, I'm going to call the police. You hear? The police. Oh, if Albert would only come home. Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer. I won't. I won't even if it goes on ringing all night. Oh.
Oh, you ring. Go ahead and ring. Oh. Now, what's the matter? Why do they stop ringing all of a sudden? Oh, what time is it? Where did I put that clock? Oh, here it is. 5 to 11. Oh, they decided something. They're sure I'm home. They heard my voice answer them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why no one has answered me. Call the operator again. Oh, where is she? Why doesn't she answer? Why doesn't she answer? Oh.
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department. Busy, but that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, I've got to speak to them now, or it may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
If you will find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use it.
I'll connect you with information. Perhaps she will be able to help you.
No. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it. I can't stand anymore. Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it.
Hello, is this Plaza 42295?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 42295.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I'm Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed, Albert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. Oh, no. No, I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone.
It's some trick. Some fiendish trick. Oh, it's some trick. Why doesn't...
Your call, please.
Operator. Try that Murray Hill 70093 number for me, just one more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. He's gone. Oh, Elmer, how could you? I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm in dire. I'm in dire. He should be here.
Information. May I help you?
Hi. I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No. It's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley. H-E-N...
One moment, please.
Please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henschley Hospital.
Butterfield 70105.
Ashley Hospital, good evening.
A nurse's registry.
What did you wish to speak
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I just want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are war times, you know.
Well,
registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels that it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset, very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid. And tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in.
Miss...
And what is your name?
Miss Phillips. And when do you expect her in?
Well, I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? But it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
It's 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What, madam?
That click just now in my own telephone, as though someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension telephone downstairs.
Well, I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about...
But I did. There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen, and they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet, and they'll see. Oh, but if I don't call someone now while they're still down there, there'll be no time. Oh, I've got to find somebody. Oh, God. Why is it here?
Your call, please.
Operator. I'm in desperate trouble. I'm
sorry. I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
I don't dare. There's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Oh, please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me. And you've got to get in touch with me. Oh, there it is. There it is. Did you hear it? He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming up. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department. The police department. Give it to me.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
I can hear him. Near her. Oh, I hear him. I hear it. Hurry. Hurry. Oh, I don't come near me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Closes Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Agnes Moorehead. Tonight's tale of suspense.
Well, that was interesting. Well, does anybody have any comments about the show? Well, we'll check in with Wild Bill and see if we can catch up with him.
Hello, hello.
What? Hello, how are you doing?
Well, I'm heading towards home. I'm actually at Arno Road, which I guess that means there is no road there, but they put a sign up there that said Arno Road up ahead.
This is where we're
starting. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Anyway,
Wild Bill?
Everybody was Yep, everybody was talking at once, and then I couldn't hear for a second. Yeah, one of the reasons we played that show tonight is I had a lot of email from people that were talking about that we had used the example about the old-time radio show. We used a humorous show last week with Fibber McGee and Molly, and we were talking about that there is, you know, really nothing new under the sun. And I have some people come back and say, well, you can take, you know, comedy on anything, but, you know, when you really go back, you know, everything is so different in this day and time. And they pointed out how Blog Talk Mom was quick to go in there and assert with me, like, yeah, you proved your point really well. And what I did here was went back 10 years further and to show that the heart and mind of man has not really changed, I don't believe, since sin came into the Garden of Eden. I think that that was the beginning of man's downward spiral in their way of thinking, living, and everything. Although some of this on the radio show tonight, you have to almost laugh. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, I think everybody that wants to work as a telephone solicitor, they should have to use that old-type style telephone system to call people. I think it would make it harder for them to agitate people so much calling on the telephone. The phone system was so different back then than what we have in today's time. And it was so funny how they, you know, was calling the operators, and now first they were, you know, so not, you know, the woman was so rude to them and so nice and, you know, pleasant in how they responded to her and trying to help her and everything. And it's hard for us to rationalize that whole process where everything is cell phones now. I don't know about you, but to get an operator or someone that's friendly or that can actually help you when you got a problem is few and far between for me. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but it may be different. But I do apologize that this show was a little bit darker than the show last week. But there again, I was really wanting to try to make the point. And I tried to use some scripture with the people that I was talking with in the email, and they had a problem with that because they were telling me that they didn't feel like the Bible was historically correct and that they were, you know, in some of the classes and things that they had in school, that they covered that, how the Bible is not historically correct. And so not being in their class and these things, then, you know, it makes it kind of hard for me to speak specifically into what they had to say. But, you know, here we went about 10 years further. Once again, last week, there was a war with the Korean War going on. This was here, was, I think, in the mid-40s, 44, 45, 46, somewhere in there. So, you know, in 42, we had the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So I guess this was right in the middle of the World War that was going on at that time. And, you know, there again, you know, a lot of things you go back in history, I go back to the Bible, but, you know, there's been wars, there's been famines, there's been people that, you know, wanted to destroy other people's way of life. There's been total annihilation of cities, animals, everything that was with certain nations. There's even, you know, places in the Bible where you can read where God told his people to kill everything in a city. And so we get this mindset that all this is new. This woman, her agitation, her fears, all being, you know, so upset, and, you know, how everything was all about her. And you know, that's not anything different than what we have in this day and time. And for a husband to have a conspiracy to kill someone in his family, in this case it was his wife, these are things that are happening every day. In this country, not just around the world, but just right here where we live. And it baffles me how people can think, because of all the new bells and whistles we have with electronics and what's happened with computers and cell phones and iPads and iPods and all these things, that anything beyond that, the base part of where we are and who we are, hasn't changed. If anything, if there's any change, in one sense, it's gotten worse. And I was trying to think about that. You know, we used to have a thing called God's law. Then we had moral law. And we had man's law. And at one time, these all ran fairly close together, especially in this country right here, on the principles that this country was founded on. But it kind of reminds me of where I live with Nashville, with Interstate 65 and 24. The further they go south and east, the further they get apart from each other. But yet right there in Nashville, they're right there together. And I think that's what's happened with, in this day and time, the people that were arguing with me. They didn't realize that some things are a lot more accepted now because our moral law compass is not what it used to be. Our legal law compass is not what it used to be. The only constant in this is God's law, the principles that God set in place that he wanted for his people. Those are still grounded right there on the rock where they were. There's not anything with time that spoke of compromise. There's not anything with time that spoke of, okay, you know, after so much time, you got seniority, so, you know, this don't apply to you anymore. You know, we're going to go on from here, and, you know, we've been talking about the bride of Christ. And so if you really look at things, in one sense, it's gotten worse because of what we now accept as normal. You know, as shocking and as dark as this show was for us tonight, can you imagine in the mid-40s where everything that we picture was, you know, the housewife taking care of everything, the husband going to do a day's work, you know, the women stayed in the home. You know, the concepts of family and positions of stature of, between men and women and the whole structure of our country has changed so much over time. And a lot of that had to do with war. The men all had to go off to war. You know, the United States was stepping up to manufacture what was needed for the war. And so women had to enter the workplace in a way they never had before. And it's kind of like Pandora's box on so many things. Once you let it out, you can't put it back in. And I think the women realized, like, man, you know, we got the wrong end of this whole thing. We've got to take care of the husband, take care of the children, take care of the house and everything. And we don't get paid anything. And, you know, we have to answer to this man who is telling us what we can and can't do. And so, you know, that has to do with the perceptions of how things have changed, too. So I'm kind of rattling here. I don't mean to be doing that. But I do want everyone to share what they're feeling on this, their thoughts and everything. And so, Sully, if you would, if you'll open up the mics. And I'm sure Blog Talk Mom's out there, so I'd like to hear what she has to say about that.
Sister Kaiser's had her hand up for a while. Sister Kaiser?
All right, bring her on.
Oh, hello. Well, I'm going to try to be brief. I appreciate the opportunity to say this. The only thing that remains the same, apparently, is change. I know you've heard that. I thought I was knocking on the door. Yes, they say, well, the only thing that ever changes, that's constant, is always change. And the more that things change, the more they remain the same. Now, as far as the people not saying about how long this world's been like this or whatever, you hear all these liberal kind of people talking about, well, all the millions of years. We got this archaic skeleton from, like, we can tell by the markings, it's been 33 million years old, on and on and on. And then same group will come back and say, well, you know, I heard on the radio just this morning, well, if we don't do something, we're losing all of our greenhouse gases, we're losing all the things. And I thought to myself, like one man was talking to me, he said, well, everything pollutes the water system. And, of course, he was a big cattleman, had lots of things. This may not make any sense, but I would bring it to an end. I asked him, I said, well, where do your cows go to the bathroom? He said, on the ground. I said, oh, is that pollution? Well, no. I said, really? You mean they do both things on the ground? I mean, you know, ones and twos, and they don't, it's not pollution? I said, you know why? I said, for hundreds of years, thousands, since creation, things have been that way. But I say because water comes from the ground and goes back into the ground. And God has his own system of osmosis and cleanliness and purification by nature. Nature does that. And so it's just kind of amazing how people think, well, it's, you know, we can't prove that the Bible is true. Oh, yes, you can. You can prove it by various means. Well, scripturally, the Bible says this totally. It says, in the last days, saith God, that there would be storms and there would be, when you say all these things come to pass, you know, there'd be nation rising against nation. There shall be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and divers or various places. We're in the last days then because that was prophesied many, many thousand years ago, and it's happening today. It happened back then. You know, there's just things that's going to be like that, little radio program. You know, she was just a twit. I mean, she was a nervous. It was self-inflicted. What I got out of it, it was self-inflicted, and just a piece of her mind.
In her scripture, it says, "As a man thinketh, so is he."
But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you can sort of create your own prophecy there if you're not careful.
Well, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing when people, they hear that. It's amazing. They won't believe the Bible, but they'll go hear those liberal, double-minded professors in the college and say, oh, yes, we just came here out of a poof. I mean, we just had an explosion and we just erupted here. And they'll believe that. And we've got solid, solid information in the Word of God about creation. You know, so we know the Bible prophesied that all these things would happen. And it's coming to pass because His Word is truth. And I am sold on the fact that God's Word is above every commentary, every news agency, every person in the world, that God's Word is above it all and is on top of it all.
You sound like me, Sister Kaiser. I'm just so wore out with all this political stuff of people going back and forth. And somewhere, you know, you realize that the truth is in the middle. You can't believe the news anymore. Everything is little sound bites. You know, someone speaks for an hour and you get four or five sound bites where they can take it and put it together to make it whatever they want it to be. And whoever's got the most money to put the most commercials out with those sound bites is usually the person that wins the office.
That's right.
It seems to me it's more about politics anymore than it is about taking care of the real problems that face this nation. And to me, that is just so sad.
That's true. I think your mother's waiting to tell you something.
But the one constant of the whole thing, and I really appreciate what you were bringing on this, is God. You know, when things look their darkest, there's nothing that surprises God. When it seems like there's no way to go, we can always go to God.
Oh.
But it seems like that's the last place, like you're talking about, they're rewriting our history books. They're turning things around. They used to have things what had to be scientific fact and scientific theory and hypothesis. And when I went to school, there were certain rules that had to be met for each one of those. And when I know when we were doing the evolution show, I looked, and they just rewritten all that. It's not, they couldn't make it work under their own rules, so they just changed the rules.
Well, and you're right. And one other thing that we have facing, I just read in the paper yesterday, this mother is suing the school because she does not want her son to know the Pledge of Allegiance. Or to say it. He's not going to say it. He's not going to, because we don't believe that. I thought, well, my goodness, that's not even an educational thing. It's just to honor those who have fought for our freedom, you know, and for our country, and giving thanks to God for blessing America. And we're living in an anti-God, anti-America world.
Yeah, it's almost like anti-everything.
We're anti-this
party or anti. You know, if it's not you, you're anti everything else, and I pray that don't get into our churches. But I know for a fact that it does a little bit sometimes. It's just,
well, yeah, they're anti women preachers.
I knew you were going to get that in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm just joking. It's not a joking thing, really, the situation we're facing, and. I'm going to let your mother talk for a while because I know she's ready.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Did you have something for us at Blog Talk Mom?
Yes, I've enjoyed the program. My favorite part with the Arno Road thing, because I was already, my nerves were absolutely at a shattering point, and there are no roads there, and I thought, what is he saying? And then I thought, oh, just a little bit of humor in the midst of this great tension. Oh, I'll tell you what, that lady did a good job, didn't she? Well, tell me, at the end, was she murdered? Was that the deal? Was
Yeah, that was the thing where as the train came by, she screamed, and then the person that was actually on the phone that was supposed to go commit the crime picked up the phone and told the police officer that everything was okay.
Oh, that's
her husband
horrible.
Had hired, her mm-hmm. husband had hired those people. That somehow the phone lines got crossed up, and I can remember back during those days on landline phones that could happen. You'd be talking to someone, and next thing you know, you'd be talking to somebody else. But wasn't it so funny how that they had to go through the operator for long distance and all those things? It just, I don't know. Of course, that woman, she was so annoying. I was kind of thinking, I can understand why her husband wants to get rid of her just a little.
Well, she was scared, though. I felt sorry for her. I want a little intercessory prayer going there. Stop those murders. I really appreciate the things that you brought out on the program, and at this point I'd like to say hello, Sister Starla and Brother Bill. This particular idea, I began to study it this morning and get some ideas for myself, and I was interested in the person that emailed you that, you know, wasn't taking the word of, couldn't feel like they could take the word of God as an absolute, you know, as a truth. And I would really like to suggest to anyone that's listening, if you want to study it in a very pleasurable way, the United Pentecostal Church has several Bible studies, but the one that I just dearly love is called Search for Truth, and it just basically goes from Genesis to Revelation. It takes several weeks. And there's, say, 45 minutes a week you meet and you discuss it. And I just think it's fantastic at how the Bible is the most, it's the most beautiful, poetic, it's literal. It's there. If you study it and let it, like the Lord said, rightly divide the word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Because as I was studying this, as while Bill, as you had mentioned it to me, there are certain things that we always have to keep in mind with any literature, but especially the Word of God. There's a concept, you know, something may be a concept and then it may be a fact. I have a little dog, and I could say that the dog is a large dog, and that's a concept. But you've got a dog, and if you said your dog was a large dog, that's a fact. Your dog is a large dog. Well, my dog is twice as heavy as she should be for her breed, but technically she's not a large dog. So you have to get more information, more facts, weigh things against each other. And the Bible is so, one of the most beautiful things about it is that if you go to the original time, the beginning that a thought is first given, anywhere in the Word of God, then as you follow that thread down through history, archaeology, science, anything, you will find that it is absolutely trustworthy, and that you can base your entire life and eternity on the Word of God. But you do have to look at it. There are metaphors. There's when it said that God will cover you with his feathers, that doesn't mean he has feathers. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what he means. Anybody that knows anything about birds and chickens and eagles, that's one of the most beautiful things that they do when they're under attack, is they spread their wings. The golden eagle, well, it looks like a monster when it's anything comes against those babies, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. And so the Word of God is just beautiful, and it is true, and it is new every day. That was another thing. I looked up about 10 different definitions for new. You know, there's new. If I did something yesterday and I did something entirely different today, it would be a new experience. But if I ate hot dogs yesterday and I ate them again today, it would be a fresh experience. I have eaten hot dogs, but I didn't eat yesterday's hot dogs, although I did eat last Thursday's pizza and had heartburn horribly. But anyway, this is an excellent point that you're bringing out, Wild Bill. And everyone listening can really be blessed and enlightened if they will look at the positive, beautiful way that the Bible brings out the word and the concept of newness, newness of life, the New Testament, the New Covenant. You know, it's really, really beautiful. I will say that I may never sleep tonight after the earlier program, but anyway, you made your point.
Well, I don't think nobody's trying to knock you off down here in Mississippi, and I don't think there's no trains going to be coming by at 11:15, so I think you'll be good to
no,
go.
No, I have my neighbor's dog at about 11:15. The trains do go by, and woo, that sound up there. Can I tell you a joke?
Sure.
You want? Okay. This is right the opposite. This is talking about, I don't know, I just read it today and thought it was cute. A collector of rare books ran into an acquaintance who told him he had just thrown away an old Bible. It was dusty and it was in an old box, and he happened to mention that Guten something or other had printed it. Not Gutenberg, gasped the collector. Yes, that was it, Gutenberg. You idiot, you've thrown away one of the first books ever printed, a copy recently sold at an auction for $500,000. Oh, no, I don't think this book was, it wouldn't have been worth anything close to that much, replied the man. It was scribbled all over in the margins by some guy named Martin Luther. Now, that was my joke. I usually have to write beside it, joke. But that's funny, isn't it?
That is funny. But that goes again, some of the people, one of the people I was getting an email from, we sort of know personally, and I'm not going to talk about who they are, but, you know, a lot of people have things because they have hurts, and it could be because either someone in church hurt them or because they have certain expectations of what God is, the relationship God wants to have with man. And I know within myself, it's real easy to have some unrealistic expectations of what it is to have a relationship with God. And so when things don't happen exactly the way they want it to, not, you know, the, you know, everything just don't fall in place, you know, because they make a change in their life and they make a commitment, a lot of people have hurts for that. And then when they turn to people to get advice, and I know I've been guilty of doing this before, they want to throw a scripture at you instead of sitting down and listening to what you have to say. You know, showing some empathy there, some compassion. And I'm not saying that's what happened with this one young man I was talking to. But, you know, we need to be careful because there could be things, you know, I read something the other day where this family was so upset at their daughter for not wanting to be involved in church and come to find out that they were forcing her to go home with this one family as much as possible that they thought were the epitome of what it meant to be a Christian family. And in the process, what they didn't know was that their child was being molested while it was over at his house. So on the outside, nobody knew this family was this way. And so the perception was, yeah, it's a good thing to want this child to be there. But then if you look at it from the child's point of view, then you realize that there's another side to each and every situation. But there again, I want to go back. The constant to the whole thing is getting to know God, because I know for a fact the Bible says that God is watching over his word to perform it. It didn't say he's watching over his word to browbeat people. It didn't say he was watching over his word to use a club to make people do certain things, to line up like little soldiers or something like that. He's a God who wants to perform. He's a now God. It don't matter if we're living in 2010 or back in the 1940s where this woman was. She messed up. Instead of calling the police, she should have got on her knees and prayed. That's what she should have done. But, you know, I'm kind of making jokes here. But a lot of times it's real easy to want to be the person to judge everything that's going on with everybody, you know, when someone's having a bad day or something. And you know, God's word was not meant to be a club to go around and to line everybody else up. And we talked about this before. The only person that we can change, and psychologists talk about this and everything, is yourself. You can suggest, you can have an impact, you can imprint certain things in people's lives, but you are the only person that can change yourself. That's where it is. We talk about the man in the mirror on here quite a bit. And so I love what you're saying about new. You know, if you're totally dissatisfied with the way things are in your life and you have a perception about what the things ought to live for God, and it didn't work out, so why don't we just start over with new? And like you said, find someone to give you a Bible study. You can take some of those online. I'm sure you could contact, you know, churches in your area. And if you don't, you know anyone like that, shoot us an email, and we'll see if we can't do something to get something lined up wherever you're at to help you with this. The big thing, well, I guess the biggest thing, and that's talking about the two dogs here, is that I really believe that the signs of the time are upon us, kind of like Sister Kaiser was talking about there. And if Noah was here today and we were talking about the flood, he'd be telling everybody to get in the boat. And we're not talking about rain this time, and we're not talking about getting in a boat. But we're talking about a plan that God put in place that he paid for with his own life, where he robed himself in flesh to make a way of escape. It's not his will that any should perish, but he gave us all free will. The Bible just outlines to kind of like, you know, let us know who God is and how to get to know him and how his relationship is with mankind. And I tell you, if you really get into reading God's word and be prayerful about it, you'll find it's one of the most interesting books that you've ever tried to read in your life. And I know there's certain things about, you know, who begat so-and-so and all that, you know, it gets to be a little boring, but there's other things in there that you can read. You can start at the New Testament and just start there and just read about the life of Jesus. And it's eye-opening to realize and just really try to take it in, you know, what he had planned for his people. Did you have anything else for us there, Block Top Mom? I didn't mean to run on there.
No, that was good. And the reason that I think that little funny story stood out to me was that to one man, that book, he had a frame of reference, and he knew what that book was worth. To the other man, he had no frame of reference, and it was worthless. And sometimes we have books, we have Bibles, everywhere available to us. But if in our mind it is a worthless book, it is something we really can't trust, then we won't treat it any differently than we would any other book, or maybe even less. But if we ask God, each of us as an individual, ask God, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. God will do that for us. There's so many illustrations in the animal world of animals that when they get afraid or they get injured, that they close up. They just close themselves up. And one of the illustrations we're familiar with is the pearl that's formed in the little oyster. It's from a wound. If a person has been raped or they've been molested, join the crowd. I mean, this is sin. This is life. But God said, I will give you newness of life. I will make you a brand new creature. All old things will go out of your life, and you will become new in the Lord. You will be born again, new. And so the enemy, being the deceiver and that has gone to the garden and began to work at the very beginning of God's creation, is still around. But don't let him rip you off. You know, reach out. Whoever is listening to this program and the ones that you witness to, don't let the enemy sell you a bill of goods. This is generations of people that have bought the theory of evolution. And I think it's so beautiful in the 14th chapter of Revelation. The angel stands up and he begins to proclaim that God is creator. I think the angels were sick and tired of hearing the Big Bang theory. You know, they know that God, our God, is the creator of all things. And he told me, and in the word of God, he would create within me a new heart, a right spirit. if I would ask him. A new, brand new. So your program is right on target for my heart.
Well, I appreciate everything you had going there. I tell you what, I almost thought a little sermon's fixing to come out, this little anointing coming in. But it's just, in one sense, it's sad because, you know, we look out and we see all the pain and we see all the suffering. And like you said, you know, hey, let's just get a grip and get over it. You know, if someone done you wrong, guess what? You're not alone. You know, you can't have confidence in your government anymore. Yeah, we all live here in this, you know, in this same situation. You don't feel, you know, safe with your job situation. We've been there. We all know what you're talking about. The economy, who knows what's going to happen with our economy. And so a lot of it has to go with what you're leaning on, what your foundation is, what you're trusting in. And I think, you know, it's one of those things that we just got to broaden our horizon. And it's so easy to say that, and it's another thing to do it. But I'm telling you, it would be sitting there like you were looking at a clock and it's counting down. And I've seen them do this for big movies that were coming out, and they'll come out 6 months in advance, and they have a little billboard up over the clock, and it's running backwards, showing a countdown for when this new movie is going to be released so you can come in and see whatever new science fiction thing they come up with where they've taken something that we've heard 10,000 different ways, but they put a new spin on it. But then if you just picture that there's a time clock going on, and whether it's the world coming to an end or it's your personal life, because none of us were promised tomorrow, none of us. And so, you know, you see it each and every day where someone's innocent going along and they're hit by a car, or a tornado comes through, or someone's struck by lightning, or just a senseless act of violence where someone just comes up and shoots someone for no reason for $2 or $3. If you just took the time to visualize it, it was a clock winding down, and then you think, okay, what when that reaches zero, where am I going to stand? Is it going to be, well done, my good and faithful servant, or is it going to be, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I know you not? And that's what we need to get our focus on. And I want to thank everyone that's called in tonight. I want to apologize again for the dark show I brought out here to try to make an example of what I was talking about. I want to thank all of you who take the time to listen to our show. I know we're running over this a little bit. I want to say that you're all in our prayers. God bless you. For our military men and women, you are not forgotten. We appreciate the job that you're doing in this country, and you're constantly in our prayers, and we appreciate you listening to our show. So before we go off, did you have anything else to add there, Blog Talk Mom or Sister Kaz or anybody?
Well, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, the same Solomon that said there's nothing new, ended it by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's good. That's a good way to end the show. So everyone stay prayerful. We'll be back with you next week. Have a good night. God bless.